You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Welcome back to the Winning Plays Podcast with Brian Robb. I am Rich Levine. It is Friday afternoon. Celtics beat the Raptors last night. They host the Pistons tonight. Today we're talking Kemba's knee, Shemmy shooting, Pritchard's rank, and the rookie class. B-Rob, first, we got some big news. So what's the official title? Mass Live. You are now the NBA Celtics and NBA reporter.
I think Celtics beat writer or Celtics reporter. Yeah, so we'll go with that. But yeah, I'll be doing some NBA there too, as it pops up. But yeah, it'll be definitely a super exciting opportunity to get started there next week. Obviously, plenty of great writers have been there before, so plenty of strong people to follow up it, but. Jumping right into during trade season will be a fun endeavor. And yeah, super, you know, very much enjoyed my time at BSJ. Very tough to leave them behind. Really love working with all the folks over there and Greg, Sean, and Connor. But yeah, excited about a new chapter.
Cool, man. Congratulations. Very proud of you. Excited to see. I mean, I say your day to day doesn't change very much. You're still covering the Celtics. You're still doing that, but it's always nice to maybe get a fresh start somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be right in the middle of the season is a unique time to do it, but
that's true.
But yeah, it'll be again. There'll be plenty of things to cover in the new spot.
All right. Well, I talked about a fresh start, and I guess if we're going to do the exact opposite of a fresh start, we might talk about Kemba Walker. So we're doing this on Friday against Toronto on Thursday night. He had a pretty solid game, right? Hit five threes, 21 points. Five turnovers, not great. But again, this is like the fourth or fifth game where he's right around 30 minutes. So you can see him maybe settling into like the minute load that you'd expect for him for the rest of the season. Still, for this season so far, worst field goal percentage of his career, worst three-point percentage in a long time. Lowest points per game since his rookie year. Second lowest offensive rating of his career. Second highest defensive rating of his career. Has not been a fresh start for Kemba Walker in his return from the injury. And we're not going to expect him to come out gangbusters, right? But where are you standing now? What do you think about the long term, you know, after what we've seen in the short term?
Yeah, so it was interesting to hear. So Danny Ainge talked about this on his weekly interview with Touch and Rich on Thursday. And I thought he made a pretty interesting comparison that that carries weight here in terms of talking about, you know, yeah, we're not panicked, which is obviously he's not going to say they're panicked because that's, why would you?
It's like, Toucher, we're scared shitless.
Yeah, we're scared. Yeah, this is terrible. Like the future with Tatum and Brown is in jeopardy now. Like we're we're freaking out at this. No, he's the company line. You have the players back because of course you do. But he made the comparison to Mike Conley last year in Utah and saying, yeah, like, you know, sometimes guys go through long funks and he was never right last year. But he's great this year. So it's like, yeah, Kemba, even if he struggles for another, I think the question was like, if he struggles for, you know, how long will it take for you to get panicked? And Danny was like, well, honestly, like longer than this year. And so I thought that was, on one hand, I get that because you're right, like Conley in the Jazz, I mean, he was kind of the similar mold of Kemba, of a early 30s point guard who or a point guard in his early 30s that, you know, wasn't in a new system and wasn't, you know, fitting in as probably as well as he would have hoped on either end of the floor over there. At the same time, though, I guess I'll throw it to you first. Is that like, how do you, what do you think about that comparison in general with where Kemba
well, right now? Okay. I mean, first of all, I mean, Conley's been okay this year. I mean, he's been better than he was last year, but I wouldn't say he's been Mike Conley. Right. It's a tough comparison, first of all, because I think Conley can defend a lot better than Kemba. Agreed. Right. And Kemba's like, his value is a little bit easier. He's penetrating, he's hitting, especially now with Tatum and Jaylen the way they are. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't excite me to hear him compare Kemba to maybe becoming Mike Conley. I mean, the other comparison I thought of was maybe Isaiah Thomas. Like, how fast can Kemba become Isaiah Thomas if he doesn't turn things around, if his knee continues to bother him the way that, you know, IT's hip ultimately took him down? But like, I don't know. I think, again, the good thing is that I don't think, obviously you would love to have the Kemba Walker that you signed a year and a half ago, whenever it was, right? In a perfect world, yeah, you want that guy who was in Charlotte, even if he wasn't going to have the usage. But either way, you don't need him quite as much anymore because of what Jaylen and Tatum have become. We can agree with that, right? So like, so maybe if Kemba can just be as good as Mike Conley again, yeah, maybe that's a little bit of a win. But in terms of like the Celtics getting the value that they expected off of signing Kemba, that doesn't do it for me. That, you know, it's a little concerning.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's no, honestly, like, if he can be Mike Conley, the good version of Mike Conley consistently, that's a huge win for the Celtics, given, as you said, the alternatives here, or the worst case scenarios, which is, you know, not you're paying $32 million to a guy who's maybe a mid-level player at this point in his career, if he continues, or worse than that, to be honest, if he continues like this. So I do think from a mentality and an attitude standpoint for Kemba Walker, the Celtics, you know, this is obviously probably a big part of why they invested him in the first place. He's a great guy. He's adaptable. He works his butt off, and he's going to, you know, he cares about his teammates just as much as the team. So the adjustment here for him in terms of maybe realizing what he can do as a player now, as in this next chapter of his career, and maybe he, you know, not just becoming a third option, but like the shots that were there for him when he was at in his prime in terms of getting to the rim and creating separation, those are just not there anymore. Maybe they'll come back in another month or two, but I think he's missed like 20 plus 2-point shots in a row, or made one of 20 or something like that over the last three or four games.
Is that so right?
There's something I'll look up. Sean Greene tweeted out the stat, but a number like that is like, whoa, like what, you know, they've played, but at the same time, they've played tough defenses here too. So how much are you overreacting to just a simple slump in a guy that really is trying to figure out how to work his knee once he's come back from this injection?
Yeah. And I would say to slightly his credit, like they have been tough shots, but like mostly because they seem sort of desperate. Like he's almost so many of these shots, it seems like he's just throwing himself towards the rim, expect to get a foul, and the refs and maybe defenders just are understanding it's just a bit easier to deal with Kemba right now because they're not falling for it. They're not fouling him. And it doesn't matter how hard Kemba throws himself on the ground afterwards. Like he's not getting the calls. That seems to be a lot of it. And I think just, he's not getting easy hoops at the rim. Not that that's ever really the kind of game, but I think it really, if he can just start consistently hitting a 3-pointer, I think the rest will sort of take care of itself.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you start. He's already taking probably like 50% of his shots are from 3-point range anyway, and have been for the last couple of years now. And so he's at 33% for the year. You know, that has to be better. And I think, again, and we saw some of this on Thursday night where it's like, okay, Kemba, like we need to maybe think about how you were getting those shots, and the pick and roll pull up threes. Maybe we pull back on that a little bit. And instead you become a catch and shoot guy with, you know, when everyone collapses on Tatum and Brown, you're there for, you know, the clean look, as opposed to having to dribble into a shot that gets contested from behind. Since, you know, that's just not a good shot for you right now. And maybe it will be in another month or two when you are getting your rhythm back and, you know, you feel better about what you can do with the knee now in this during this season. But for now, I mean, from the Celtics as a team just don't have the margin for error right now where they can let Kemba take 15 or 20 shots a night if you're only going to hit 30, 35% of those.
Yeah, I think I said last year that maybe at some point Kemba's ideal role is the Lou Williams next to Paul George and Kawhi. And I don't know. I still think that maybe that's it. You know, you get your and part of that maybe could be coming off the bench. It's a different conversation maybe.
I don't think like that's not going to happen this year. Like, it's just they're going to – because are you going to bench him? I mean, I think you worked the rotation to where – like, they even did this last night. They had Jaylen Brown was coming off the bench against the Pistons or was on the bench for the last 3 minutes of the second quarter. So they could stagger everyone like him and Jaylen, Tatum, and Kemba. Like, so two of those guys were pretty much on the court at all times. So maybe you stagger, but I think you can't from a respect standpoint for like Kemba's psyche. I don't think you can bring him off the bench yet, even if he continues like this.
Again, in terms of his psyche, I don't think it's one of those things where he just shows up at the Garden one day and he's not up on the Jumbotron. I think it would have to be something you talk to him about and you'd have to be okay with. And maybe if I'm not putting the pressure on Kemba, not that it matters, but like if he's like the team player that, you know, he seems to be, like, I think if they made a compelling case, maybe he would do it, but who knows? I agree. Maybe that will be the very last resort. And in so many ways, I guess it's hard to really judge last night. I think there aren't going to be any games when Shammy and Peyton Pritchard combined for 12 three-pointers made on 14 attempts, on 16 attempts. That is unbelievable. That cures a lot of what woes you.
Yeah, that will exactly take a lot of pressure off the Kemba Walkers of the world. And or honestly, of anyone, you know, of anyone on the team when you get that kind of secondary production. But I mean, when you look, I guess the tougher balance right now, if you're Brad Stevens, I feel like, is Kemba's the defensive issues, I think, are just more glaring than ever now too, which is
they're just every team that they're just attacking him. It seems every time, almost every time down the court, right? It's a game of find Kemba, get the mismatch and go to work.
Right. So when you look at those, you know, the push and pull here, and this is, again, he had a similar situation here with Gordon Hayward a couple years ago. It became a simpler solution on that team because there was so much more talent on that team to put in that was deserving of starting over Hayward at that point. So when that switch was made, it was like, yeah, like it worked. But now, I mean, with Kemba, if we're looking for crunch time and things like that, in games where he doesn't have it going offensively, particularly, like, what is the push and pull there of being like, listen, we need, like, defensively, like, you are an issue right now against a lot of opponents. And so if you're not bringing the offensive upside that you would normally do, like, but we want you to get that back, like, what's the balance for you there in terms of, you know, working him back in versus, you know, costing this team games defensively?
Yeah, and I don't think you can do that, right? Respect is respect. Kemba's earned a lot of it, but like you said, if he is not performing at an all-star level offensively, his defense makes it hard to justify him being out there, regardless of who he is, regardless of what his contract is, regardless of you know, how you want to maybe tiptoe around his ego. And he doesn't have a huge ego. I'm not criticizing him on that level, but like, it's just hard. You know, like, and unless, like you said, maybe we're not there yet. Maybe he deserves a little bit more time. He does deserve a little bit more time to maybe find his feet offensively. Maybe, I don't know if it's confidence in that. I don't know what it is, but maybe we're not there yet. But pretty soon, Brad Stevens is going to have some hard decisions to make. Hopefully he won't, but it, unless things change, that's what he's up against.
Right. And especially when you look at, you know, you have Jaylen Brown dealing with tendonitis at this point that, you know, you've leaned on him and Tatum for really big minutes. They, both of those guys, you couldn't have asked really them to play much better in a best case scenario so far this season. And so I would imagine one or both of those guys are going to have a drop off at some point, and then your margin of error goes down even more at that point. So it will be I mean, that is, again, positive signs. I think a lot of it will be Kemba kind of finding the shots that are easier for him within the offense. Like, you don't have to, you know, go one on three into the paint, and, you know, you're not getting the respect from officials that you used to. So maybe you adjust your shot selection from that standpoint. But again, positive signs on Thursday night. You know, they're managing him obviously with the back-to-backs. It will be obviously a pretty big storyline for both this team this year and obviously for the long term in terms of, you know, how quickly he comes out of it, if at all.
Sure. I want to say more time. Mike Conley made a second team all defense in the NBA. So it just like, I understand like the comparison a little bit from Danny, but very different players who contribute in very different ways. And if Kemba's right. not hitting that shot, it's just, you know, we're seeing it.
And Conley shot like 40% from the field and 37% from three last year. So it's like that was a quote unquote down year.
Yeah, right. For him. B-Rob, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. I like how they separated TV shows and reality TV, right? Reality TV is not a TV show. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code. It is CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, once again, your online sportsbook experts. And one thing, I mean, Kemba, I think, can appreciate a little bit that Peyton Pritchard is back in the mix, B-Rob, because I think games like last night, just every single time this kid takes the floor, it doesn't matter if it's his first game back after what we all thought was maybe a season-ending injury. He's back. He's helping the Celtics. And let's quickly, we're going to do a very quick podcast today. We're in between back-to-backs. We're just going to look at PP compared to some of the other rookies in the class and just talk about his what he means to this team right now. So any opening thoughts? I mean, again, 6 for 8. I mean, Shemmy was the real surprise last night when he hit 6 three-pointers in a game. For Pritchard, it just seemed like more of the same of what he's been doing.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to guess where Pritchard ranks in the NBA in 3-point shooting right now, Rich?
Percentage wise?
Or just rank?
I mean, is he top 10?
He's 9th.
Wow, and that, we're not talking. NBA. We're not talking rookies.
This is NBA. Players. This is NBA among qualifiers.
Wow.
So that is 46.9% from three, after Thursday night's game, and so yeah, I mean that's where you start right here, like you and ironically that's he's not the top rookie 3-point shooter. Can you guess who that is?
I was looking earlier. Is Halliburton the?
I know. So Halliburton is right below Pritchard, 45%. So he's 11th in the NBA.
Oh, Desmond Bane.
Desmond Bane, one-time Celtic. Desmond Bane, right. 48.2. And we need to like, let's take a quick detour on that. This looks bad. Like just straight up, like when you look at what this team could need, like Langford was out for the year. Kemba was going to be out, or not for, out for the first half. Kemba was going to be out, and you made the bet being like Carson Edwards or
hey, Carson's get done a lot better since we
I mean he has it. Like he has
I agree but, that he's not
but Desmond he's not guy. But Desmond he's not shooting 48% from three on like 4 attempts per game as a 6'5" guy and yeah. That's all Bane does like but he's averaging 10 points a game for the Grizzlies. That's a guy that when you trade him for 2 second-round picks because you had a log jam. Like that doesn't look like a great bet right now.
No. And again, it's relatively early, but you think about just what the Celtics need, just the depth and the wings and the shooting and that's like, and again, I remember I wasn't one of them, but I remember on Twitter, you know, when Bane was picked, but under the assumption he was already going to be traded, that a lot of people were upset. They thought that he was a guy. And so it's not like a total shock. It's not like one of these right. guys that came out of nowhere and like, oh, you should have taken that guy. No, this is a dude that was on people's radar who is doing what people imagined he might be able to do in the NBA. And it just happens to be something that the Celtics need. But yeah, that's tough. Well, let's go back to
Pritchard. Yeah, Pritch, but you don't feel as bad about it when you see what Pritchard's doing.
Right. And what's funny is that Bain, another 4-year guy.
Yeah.
But four years at TCU. So like he was very much in that mold. Shot 46, 42, and 44% from three his last 3 years at TCU. So again, not a surprise. But in terms of what Pritchard is going to do moving forward, like, shit, like I keep waiting for him to come back down to earth, but as long as he stays healthy, this is who he is.
Right. And so he, you know, he had the 2 weeks off with the sprained MCL. And it took a game or two for him to kind of, you know, shake the cobwebs out or, you know, but I think now a week back into it, he's back and he's, this was the perfect example, like the Raptors game on Thursday. It's like, okay, what do you need to do against a Toronto team that just collapses on stars and plays zone? You need guys that can hit threes from like the corner or wherever. And this is Payne Pritchard. And not only is he doing this, Rich, he's doing it while like holding his own defensively. I mean, he's not a good defender by any means.
Did you see that one possession that Forsberg tweeted out earlier? I did see that.
Yeah.
That was like the clips they used to show about Draymond Green when he'd guard every player in one set. He just knows where to be. He even against Siakam, right? So and one part of that play, and everyone, if you go through Forsberg's Twitter, you can see it. He had Siakam out on top beyond the 3-point line and just held his own. And again, it was some great help too. But no matter where he is, no matter who he's up against, he knows exactly what to do.
So let's look at the rookie class right now and figure out where he ranks in here in terms of like all NBA rookie teams.
Like, I mean, he's definitely on it.
Right.
Not first team, but
right. So the question is like how long, like, so I think we have some pretty safe choices for the first team in LaMelo Ball.
Yep.
Tyrese Halliburton.
Yep.
Who I think honestly is probably
ROI,
the rookie of the year. Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong ROI right now candidate.
Yeah, I mean LaMelo's gonna have the narrative. I think he's a much sexier pick. It'll be and he could deserve it too. But Halliburton's awesome. Anyway, right. Sorry, keep going.
Right, you're right. Yeah, both of them are. I mean, if either of those teams make the playoffs, that could be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, good point.
So yeah, and then beyond that, like, I mean, Wiseman will obviously be on it assuming he gets back healthy. I think that's a safe, you know, assessment just in terms of the kind of numbers he can put up when he is out there, and he'll get that playing time.
And I think you know, Edwards, so he's at 14 points a game right now.
Right.
If he can, just given that when you're the top overall pick, and so he's, you know, he's 0.4 behind LaMelo in points per game right now. I think if he stays in the top two, he probably gets it as well. But like, you know, and Quickly is obviously playing really well for the Knicks. And if he can lead them to the playoffs, he's probably in the conversation. But I think it's going to be very hard to keep Pritchard off the second team.
I mean, he's been, what, the fifth best player on the Celtics so far? The sixth for the season when he's been healthy? Is that...
So the Jays...
He might even... And fifth might even... Like, you could maybe make a case for that to be even higher. I mean, I think, like, Tice is a pretty strong case to be in that top five, just in terms of his shooting and everything else that's come around. But like,
and I Marcus, mean,
Marcus. So even then, like, if you had to pick one, I mean, Smart's defense obviously is head and shoulders above Pritchard, which may make up the offensive difference. But like, the shooting splits. I mean, don't like Smart's having a pretty down year offensively with his shooting. I mean, his assist has been solid. But, you know, Pritchard's been the far superior offensive player to Smart this year.
No, I think that's fair. He's certainly been he's been one of the more like calming presences of on the team. Like I said, as a late first round pick, I'm trying to see who was the last. This could be very obvious that I'm missing, but you know who like the last Celtic was to make a rookie team, an all rookie team.
I would assume it's Tatum.
Oh yeah, I mean that's got to be. I didn't know if it was. And then I'm sure Jalen made it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like I mean, Jalen probably didn't make it because he didn't play a ton his rookie year.
Interesting.
Remember, he was like stuck behind Avery for a lot of the year, and
Yeah, he also wasn't ready, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like he had their tight leash on him.
So what year was that? That would be
the
Jalen made second team.
He made second team? Okay.
Wow, you talk about the different courses that NBA careers can take, especially when you get to the second team. So the 2016-2017 second team all rookie, Jamal Murray, Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, Marquise Chris, and Yogi Ferrell. but then the two guys that made the first team ahead of Jalen and Murray and Ingram are Saric and Willie Hernan Gomez.
Wow.
Malcolm Brogdon, Embiid, and Buddy Hield were the other ones. These are kind of interesting looking at these old rookie teams. Yeah. Marcus made second team all rookie.
Yeah. No, he played a ton right out of the gate.
Kelly Olynyk, team all rookie.
What? They were playing the young guys back then.
Yeah. Wow. So did Tristan Thompson. Anyways, so we got a couple minutes here. So we have the Pistons in town tonight. And then the schedule after getting through that West Coast trip, and we talked about it before it started, that it was going to be a murderer's row. And I think all things considered, the Celtics came out okay, right?
Yeah, I remember you bringing up, can they get through this like 5-5 of like this 10 game stretch, which was the West Coast trip, and then you know a few tough games before that, and
that's what they did.
That's what they did.
And it was the second game against Philly is when it started. They lost the Philly, Spurs, Lakers, Suns, and Jazz, beat the Clippers, Warriors, Bulls, Cleveland. I mean, definitely, you know, the losses, not very many impressive wins, but they got it done. They went 5-5.
Right.
I can't go back on what I said. I said that if they win 5-5, that would be a win. So they did it. So that's a win. So moving forward, Pistons, Wizards. Two games against the Hawks, Pelicans, Mavericks, another Hawks game. Opportunity. Now, this next stretch, now we're looking at like 7-3.
Yeah, like this is where you have to start. If you want to have home court in the playoffs, you have to start making hay right now. Like you can't go up and down, and you have to take advantage of being home. But now it's also the challenge of, you know, Tatum and Brown probably come back to earth a little bit. Smart still out. Rob Williams now out.
Oh yeah, I'm worried about that, by the way.
Yeah, I mean this is how it seems to start with him, and then you find out that it's a, you know, he's had obviously really tough luck with these kind of injuries all year long, or all his career, I should say.
Yeah, so, reoccurring hip injury for an athletic young big man is not good news.
No. So, but I honestly think that this might help Brad Stevens find the best version of his team right now, with the, you know, not having to play the double big out of necessity again in a lot of these games, because those are where your depth is.
Yeah, but I have a hard time believing playing Tristan Thompson is what's best for this team right now.
It's certainly my hope.
Can they trade him?
He's going to be traded as of this week. So okay. So keep an eye out. We'll save that for a sellers episode starting next week. So all right, well, that'll do it for us for this week's edition. We'll be back next week here on the pod to see what Kemba Walker and what the rest of this team looks like after a few games on friendlier turf. In the meantime, subscribe, rate, review us, The Winning Plays on iTunes or whatever you find our podcast. Hit us up at Winning Plays Pod on Twitter, and we will talk to you all next week.